Welcome to CWH. Dad's message today is the first of two sermons on Peter. The downward steps of Peter speaks about the events in his life that led to his downfall. And next week, tune in for Dad's second message on Peter, highlighting the changes he makes.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, another week rolls by, and the years roll by. Oh, we've been on the air now almost 30 years. But one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, the Lord's going to come again, and time will be no more, and we're going to go and see the blessed face of God and the face of the Savior and all of our loved ones that know Jesus. So we're just happy to come with the gospel, a wonderful gospel. We want you to be a part of our group that go to be with the Lord. Our sermon today is going to be about the downward steps of Peter and how that he failed the Lord and what led to it. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We have a letter here from Omaha, Nebraska, and this is from a man. He's a Korean vet. And we hear from, always happy to hear from the veterans because we owe them a great deal. But here's what he writes about America. He said, "I'd like you to pray for me. I'm so tired of how our country is being run. I'm 85 years old. Government statistics say that 58% of our people in the United States of America are addicted to drugs. That's the devil's communion. I never heard that before. Drugs are the devil's communion." I think he's got a point there. And then he goes on. "There are so many people robbed, beaten, raped, or killed because of the drugs. I'm a Korean veteran, and I was proud of our country to be one of those GIs that loved our country and fought, gave up their home, and died for the USA. No more. We are a country of sin. Thank you for bringing Jesus to me and all the others. You are the gospel preacher." And here's a man, and he's exactly right. Oh, we need to pray for America, that America, the United States, turns back to God. We need to pray for all of the nations. But those of us who live in America, we ought to be praying, God, forgive us for our sins. Take, for instance, with the drugs. And I know a little about drugs. Took one of my beautiful granddaughters. And the drugs, but something even worse, I think. And that is abortions. Abortions by the millions. Killing babies by the millions. God have mercy on America and turn her back to God. And turn the world back to God. This man's exactly right. He's got it. Here's Davenport, North Dakota. Oh, here's a nice way to turn it. This is a 9-year-old girl, little girl. She writes, "I'm sending you my tithe of $23 for the Christian Worship Hour. I still pray for you every night." That's beautiful. And there's this little girl, God bless you. And her name's Olivia. And she's in way up in North Dakota. And you know, I started tithing, I can't remember when. But I know my mother taught me, the minute you got 10 cents, you gave one penny to the Lord. And I've followed that all of my life, 86 years. And this wonderful Jesus, I'm 96, but I won't count some of those first years because I didn't know a whole lot then. But my mother, and I'm going to tell you something about my mother. We hear from people, they say, well, we don't have much to give. My mother, we went through the Depression, the Great Depression. We didn't have a penny to our name. The only income we had was a cream check that we got. And when Mother got that check for that cream, she gave 10% to the Lord. We didn't buy a penny. People say, I gave my last dollar to the Lord. Don't never give your last dollar to the Lord. Give your first dollar to the Lord because he owns the store. We don't own the store. It's not ours. It's all his. And here's this little girl teaching us a lesson. Here's Galena, Missouri. "Dear Pastor Salem, God bless you. I love your generation." This is a young man writing. He says, "I'm a young man with pervasive development disorder, a type of autism, and I enjoy your sermons." And here's a young man, and he loves our generation. And what do you know? We love their generation. And that's the way it is. The old people need the young people, and the young people need the old people. That's God's way. That's God's mix. He didn't make all the whole world young people, and he didn't make all the world old people. He has a mix, and we ought to learn from each other and love each other and serve God together. Good story here from this young man. One more, White Bear Lake, Minnesota. My husband got saved when he was 80 years old, and after he was saved, he always listened to the Christian Worship Hour. He died this year, and here's a man 80 years old, accepted Jesus. Not many of these old people come to Jesus, because I say they're a mutt in a rut, and they don't turn, but you better turn. If you don't know Jesus personally, you need to come to Jesus right now. And I'll tell you how you do it. You just get on your knees. And I know in the old people, I can't get on my knees. I can't get back up. But you just pray to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake my old ways best I can. Thank you, Jesus." And if you do that, you're a child of God. At the end of the service, I'm going to give you where you can write. We'll send you some literature. But you just stay with us, and we'll look at that later. But we want to look at the downward steps of Peter today. We ought to look at the events that came about to pass. And at this night, he's going to deny Jesus Christ. And they had been to the temple, and they'd had the upper room, and they'd sung a hymn, and they'd had a sermon there. And then they left the temple, and they'd gone out into the streets of Jerusalem. And then they had passed over the valley, the Kidron Valley, the Kidron Stream, a little stream of water. And then they'd gone up the other side on the Mount of Olives, and they'd gone to a place called Gethsemane. And then Jesus stops in Gethsemane, and he talks to them. And he says, "All ye shall be offended in me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Jesus is quoting from Zechariah. All the men knew that there'd be a night of scattering, and amid the scattering, and there would be, and then there were going to be a time. It was not going to be an accident. It was a prophecy that this was going to happen. And Jesus said that was in Zechariah's day. Now we're there. It's tonight. Tonight it's going to happen. The 11 disciples knew. They didn't know that it was going to happen. They never did get that picture of the cross. Jesus talked about it, but they never really picked it up. But now they were kind of troubled because Judas had left them, and he'd gone, and he betrayed them, and they didn't know what he was up to. And then Jesus is talking about death, and then he's talking about smiting, and then he's talking about scattering, and they are nervous. And then Jesus warns them, and Jesus prepares them, and he says, "All ye shall be offended in me this night, but after I'm raised up, I will go before you into Galilee." Jesus is telling them, your scattering will not last long because there'll be a gathering. They're going to be scattering while I'm on that cross. They didn't know about that cross. They hadn't picked that up yet. But they're going to scatter them. And sure did, they ran everywhere. But Jesus, there'll be a gathering together, coming back, see? This wonderful dear Jesus. And Jesus is telling them, my defeat is not the end. There's going to be something else. And Jesus is encouraging his people. And Jesus always does that. Everywhere you look, he's saying, fear not. And he's just wanting to help you and bless you. And so we're looking to Jesus. And John Rippon puts it so well. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And so then Peter, after Jesus tells him all that, Peter says, if all shall be offended in thee, I will never be offended. And the other disciples said the same thing. And Jesus talks back to him. And he says, verily I say unto thee that this night, look at how immediate it was. This night, he says, something's going to happen. And it's not going to be a month from now or a year from now or a millennium. This night, tonight. This is going to happen. He says, this night, before the cock crow, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Even if I must die with thee, Peter says, he insists, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Even if I have to die with you, I'll not deny you. And Jesus was very, very kind to these men and to all of his followers then and now. And so then he talks to them and he reveals this wonderful thing that Peter's going to be a failure, but Jesus is still going to love him. And there'll always be a way back. So let's look at what happened now. Jesus says he's going to deny him. And then Peter does. And why did he do it? For one reason, he says he was too self-confident. He says in Matthew 26, 35, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. I believe Peter believed that with all of his heart. He is never going to deny Jesus Christ. He's going to stay with him to the very bitter end. Peter, and Jesus are telling him, Peter, I have more knowledge than you. I know you. I know what you're all about. You're too self-confident, he's saying to himself. And Peter says, there's one thing here. He says, I'll never deny you. And Peter says, I believe with all his heart he wasn't going to deny him, but Peter didn't know himself. Jesus knew himself. Peter knows himself. I don't know myself. I don't know what I would do under certain circumstances. I don't know what sin I might go into. And I know that I better stay close to Jesus and not be so hot and think I'm such a hot shot great Christian. I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. And Peter didn't know himself. And you don't know yourself. And I don't know myself. We suppose that we're to be strong and steadfast when we're feeble and we're unreliable. We suppose ourselves to be humble-minded when we are actually proud of heart. We suppose ourselves to be generous when we essentially were self-seeking. We suppose ourselves to be devout when we're really unspiritual. We suppose ourselves to be near to God when we're actually afar off. Peter supposed, but Christ knew his heart. God looks at the outward, man looks at the outward appearances. God looks at the heart. And so Peter fails. And now notice this. See how far a good man can fall. Christ said he would build his church upon Peter's great confession. Not on Peter, but on his confession. And Peter's confession was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what the church is built on. Jesus Christ, not Peter. Jesus Christ. And though he stood so high and he was so close to God, he fell terribly. It's amazing how far a good man may fall. And notice all this. Notice how deep the descent of sin seems ever so slight at the start, but then it gets steeper and steeper. And that's what the self-confidence does. We're just so full of ourselves, sure of ourselves, but little by little we're drifting and we don't realize it. And we don't stay close and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God tells us in the book, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You're never too rough on your own strength. It's got to be the closeness of Jesus Christ every time. Someone has written, blessed Savior, make me humble. Take away my sinful pride. In myself I'm sure to stumble. Help me stay close by thy side. Peter was too self-confident. And then another thing about Peter is he neglected his prayer life. They got to Gethsemane, and you know the story that Jesus takes Peter, all of them there, and then he takes three, Peter, James, and John, and they go farther into the garden and they pray. And Jesus says, you pray for me, and I'm going to agonize in prayer. And when he comes back, they're asleep. He cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep. He said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And so he goes back, he wakes them, he goes, and then he comes back, and they're asleep again. And he wakes them up, and the third time he comes, and they're asleep again. And they should have been praying on their knees and begging God to help them to be true to God. Peter slept when he should have prayed. In Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 6, verses 17 and 18, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then again, he tells us in Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. If Jesus had to pray, don't you think we need to pray? Believe me. And so what we need to do is have a time of devotions and try to have it in the morning. Get up a little early and read that Bible and pray. You'll need Jesus during the day. And somebody put it like this. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence came like sunshine, like a glory in my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. So I think I know the secret. Learned from many a troubled way, you seek Him in the morning, you want Him all the day. Peter neglected his prayer life. And then, another thing he did was wrong. He didn't stay close to Jesus. He drifted away from, it says, Peter followed afar off. Peter's love and faith never failed, at least to follow the Lord. He followed Him at a distance. And you remember what Jesus had told Peter? He says, Peter, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. And I made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not. His courage failed. Peter's courage failed. His faith in the mission failed. But his faith in Jesus Christ never, ever failed. His love and his faith never failed. And that experience reminds us of Peter. And he talks about us and he tells us, Peter, Satan wants to sift you in his hands. And that's just what he's doing. But his faith never failed. And you know, there's in Psalm 1, we have God's blessed man. And that blessed man is Jesus. And this wonderful Jesus, he's telling us about this wonderful Savior. And he says how that He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit with the seat of the scornful, but He walks with the Lord. He's close to Jesus Christ. And so what we have to do is just be sure that we love Jesus. Peter loved Jesus, but he failed. But we have to love Jesus, and we have to stay close by His side, and don't drift off and follow afar off. Peter didn't stay close to Jesus. And then another thing Peter did that was wrong that led to his downfall, he had the bad company. He had the wrong people. He traveled with the wrong crowd. Look at, he sat with the servants of the high priest and warmed himself. He mixed and he mingled with the master's enemies. It's shocking to suppose that Peter would do that, but he sits among those people that are going to kill Jesus. And when you remember how that, you always remember, though, that Peter loved the Lord Jesus. That never, ever failed. And he was getting that crowd he was following. At least he followed at a distance. But he should have been right, us making his stand for the Lord right there. He was in the wrong company. God warns us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so we have to be careful. Watch out who you travel with, you young people especially. That's when the peer pressure is the worst. But that peer pressure is all through life. You're always going to face it and learn to stand up for Jesus Christ. And don't say, well, they're all unbelievers. There's none of them Christians, but I travel with them. I'm going to be a missionary. You just get out of there because they'll sway you. You won't sway them. And Peter traveled with the wrong company. Turn away. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Get along with God's people. Walk with God's people. And then it finally happened. Peter swears in denial and profanity, denied him with an oath. So Peter's on the spot. He tries to evade the denial the first time. See, he's in the wrong company. And what it says, a little maid came. And I just can see this picture. Here's Peter. He's a big, strong fisherman, like these big professional ball players, football players. They're monsters. He's a big man. He's a strong man. He's a rock. And this skinny little old thing comes, her legs no bigger than a toothpick. I wonder how she gets around on him. And she points her little, and I think it was a bony finger. If I was going to make a picture, I'd have a long, bony finger. And she says, "You, that little runt of a thing, point a finger at old Peter." And he says, "You are one of them." And Peter says, I don't know why he talked to her in the first place. Why didn't he swat her away like a fly? He says, "I know not what thou sayest." And then here comes another, and so that settles that. Then here comes another maid. I don't know where all these maids are coming from. Why didn't he have a brute of a man come and challenge? And oh, skinny little girl. And here's this maid comes, and she's talking, and she says, "This man also was with Jesus of Nazareth." And this time, Peter, why did he listen to her? What is he doing with that little girl scaring him after death? Can you believe it? And this time, Peter says, "No, I don't know." And he made himself with an oath, that is, he was swearing on a Bible, like we swear on a Bible. He was giving his oath, "I don't know this man. I don't know anything about him." And then here comes the whole company spoke to him. "Really, you are one because you hear your speech sounds like it. You sound just like him." And Peter was on the spot. He was there warming himself by the fire, and all of a sudden he was in the fire. And he swore to God he didn't even know Jesus Christ, and it made him mad to be associated with him. Then that love was challenged. One maid spoke to him. She said, "Thou also." Why also? Well, Judas was around there somewhere. Maybe Judas was standing there looking on. He'd forsaken Jesus. He'd betrayed Jesus. He'd given him that unholy kiss, and he'd gone with the priests and those who wanted to do the killing. He was around there somewhere. Maybe she's saying, "Thou, why also?" Maybe he was lurking around. Maybe John was there. We know John was one of the last at the cross because Jesus gave him the caretaker of his mother. And that's a beautiful picture. Jesus caring for his mother. Just before he dies, he cares for his mother. Doesn't die. He cares for his mother. There's a whole sermon there. And so here he is. But somehow, he's of a truth. He says, "Thou art one of them." So Peter arrives at his level. He takes the final step. He comes to the point. He not only denies Jesus, he swears to God he doesn't know him. Then it was that he added to the curse of the oath. Long ago, Jesus said, "Satan's going to sift you. Satan wants to sift you." Now Satan is doing the sifting. Peter is weak as water. Satan runs Peter through his hand just like he was a handle full of wheat and let it run through. Someone has said Peter shut the door to the upper things. He opened the door to the downward things. And now Peter was finding himself out. He thought he was so strong. He thought he would stand when all others fell. He thought that he knew himself and that Jesus didn't know himself. But alas, Peter was finding himself. He's discovering that he's not all that strong after all. He's discovering that Jesus was right after all. He's discovering that he's not as strong as he had supposed. He's saddened and he's heartsick. He's failed Jesus. He's at the end of the story. He breaks down and weeps bitterly. Oh, my friend, and I'm sure Peter must have thought, "God is done with me. Jesus is done with me. I wanted to be with him in the kingdom, but he'll never have no part with me." Next week, we're going to see how Peter comes back. But for now, we want to look at this. Just be careful how we live. The first thing you've got to do is accept Jesus Christ. You can't serve Jesus until you have him in your heart, and he'll never come into your heart. As many as received him, he gave power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name, John 1:12. So how do you receive Jesus anyway? How do you do that? Well, how do you receive anybody? Jesus says he stands at the door and he knocks. If any man opens the door, I will come in. You say, Jesus, please come into my heart. That's what I did when I was 10 years old. That's 86 years ago. It's as plain as if it was last night. Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And then you get your Bible out and you read that Bible and you pray. You find a church, find other believers, find other Christians and get with them. And you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature and we'll pray for you. And you write to us. We need your help. Our only income comes from God's people. And so you need to send us a gift and help us in the work. And we're going to be looking for that. And again, for those on those shortwave, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now I want to pray for you. And in our prayer, we're going to always pray for the persecuted church. We're praying for the persecuted church in Somalia. So, dear Lord, I'm thanking you for the multitudes of people that right now are making the prayer of the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. Just save me, dear Jesus, and I'll follow you and walk with you. In their own words, they're doing that everywhere. And, dear Lord, to those Christian who may be on beds of sickness, those who maybe are suffering, maybe they're lonely, maybe they're weary, and just help them to know that you said you'd never leave them or forsake them, that you would be with us to the end of time until we met you in heaven. So bless them. And Lord, the Christians in Somalia, help them, encourage them. Maybe some of them are listening to this service right now. Help them to know that they're an encouragement to us. We are stronger. We are more determined because of their dedication to you. They're a blessing to us and a great honor to God. And someday we'll see them in heaven and we'll get to talk to them. Thank you, Jesus. In the Savior's name, amen. So now we need to hear from you if you want to have any of our literature. We've got a little Bible study called The New Song. You write for that. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now until next week, when Peter comes back to Jesus, you don't want to miss that. It is exciting and thrilling, and it's a blessing to all. Until then, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And God bless you in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.